Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We're excited about tonight's show. We have lots of young drivers on the show tonight. This is John Massengill sitting in studio with Les Kaiser. How's it going, Les?
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Good day.
Mr. Green, Jonathan, has left the Macau Grand Prix and is on his way.
You got it.
And he's now on his way to the Toyota Racing Series. He's maybe even in the air as we speak, so he's not going to be joining us tonight. Yeah, that video, that audio clip you just heard about Macau, I think we explained it, but that's part of a video I checked it. That video has been seen 12 million times, the crash at Macau. If you just go to YouTube and you search Macau Grand Prix.
Mayhem.
You don't have to do that. You just search Macau Grand Prix, and it's, depending on what time of year, it'll be the number one video. Right now, it's not because of the recent race. But anyway, you got to watch that video because the crash that he's talking about there is just crazy. But let me talk about what we got on tonight's show because we have a bunch of interviews with a bunch of great young drivers, one of them live. So the live driver is an Austin guy, young guy, Riley Dickinson. We're going to have him live at about 7:30. And then also from young drivers on the show, we're going to have from the Macau Grand Prix, we're going to start with an interview with Dan Ticktum, and if you know, we're going to talk about his career here in a minute, but it's a really interesting story this year. He's had a really crazy up-and-down career in the last 2-3 years, and he was at Macau racing again. He's a champion at Macau, I think twice, and we're also going to have a clip from the winner at Macau because Richard Verschuer has, yes, I'm sure we're going to have Richard on the show.
I'm sorry, I should have stepped in. Jonathan wasn't here.
I know. So anyway, we're going to
Are you sure? For sure?
So we're going to have an interview with Richard Verschuer, the winner of the Macau Grand Prix. Kind of a bit of a surprise there. And we've had him on the show before.
Right.
And we have an interview with Sophia Flores. You remember her.
Oh, yeah.
She's the comeback kid, as I tweeted out earlier, because she was the one who was in that insane crash. How fast did they say she was going?
Is that the one that was 170?
I was going to say 190, but I thought that sounded too high for a Formula 3 car. It was way high. I mean, if you just search her name on YouTube, you'll see her car just turned. It went airborne and turned into a missile and hit the stands. It was one of the boxes, so I don't remember all of what happened there. I don't think anybody got killed at all, but I know that. And she didn't walk away, but she's back in the car and back at Macau racing again, which is just amazing that she's back.
I tell you, getting back on the horse, there's something about it, you know?
Yeah, so we've got an interview with her. And we also have an interview with Liam Lawson, who he came in seventh at the Macau Grand Prix, but he's got a really good story. And he's part of the same team as Richard Verschuer. And he's also an interesting twist. He is one of the Red Bull juniors, of which Dan Ticktum was for a short time. And so we'll talk about all of that. So we got a bunch of good clips, we got a live interview, we got a bunch of good stuff on the show. So, but I want to just start off with a little bit of Formula One because, you know, we did our post-race show right after the race last weekend, and it was so much to talk about. You know, we touched on everything, but you know, the fact that we had podiums for Carlos Sainz and from McLaren and Pierre Gasly. I mean, that was just amazing, really.
Yeah, that was way cool. I love that things got shook up. And, you know, since about the Italian Grand Prix, things have really come to life again. There's been a lot of things happening. There's been a lot of unpredictable outcomes. And so I like seeing that. I'm curious to see what these changes are going to do for us in the coming years.
Well, and I mean, the racing in Formula One, we talked a lot about it, but the racing in Formula One has been so good this year. We had Chase Carey, the CEO of Formula One, talking about what they're talking about doing, the 2021 rules and all the things they're going to try to make it better. But it's just one of those things that is going to be dominant in what we talk about over the next, especially over the winter, when we'll have time to really dig into the 2021 rules and talk about the changes, the car. The car looks cool, looks great, actually. And the aerodynamics, of course. I mean, really, that's what it all boils down to. So that is going to be a big topic for us. And but one thing I do want to mention is that we are looks like we're going to start. We're going to continue into next year for our national pre and post race shows. So you look on our website, Speed City Broadcast, and find out where to find those, because we do live coverage of every Formula One race. We do an hour before, and then they go out to the BBC's play-by-play, and then we do an hour post-race. So we're going to continue that. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Sometimes before the chickens get up.
That's all the producer's thinking about, is what time he has to get in the studio.
And who's bringing breakfast tacos.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, we're gonna continue that next year. That'll be a third year for doing that. And But I think I want to go ahead and jump into our Macau coverage, because if you don't know the Macau Grand Prix, it is one of those that is it's really a special, pretty much off-season racing. You know, a lot of the racing is wrapped up for most everything but Formula One now. IndyCar's wrapped up. And you know what? Before we do Macau, reminds me of IndyCar. I mean, how about that big story with Sebastian Bourdais? That was out of left field for me.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about it some.
Yeah.
Because it is, people are going to kind of be whiplashed over this.
Well, yeah. I mean, so Sebastian Bourdais, you know, obviously a phenomenal IndyCar driver. And I don't know how many years he's been in IndyCar, but I guess it was 20 seconds. So just 2 days ago when this was announced, was that he is now leaving IndyCar and moving to at least full time. I mean, I'm sure all this stuff is in flux, but he's now going to the JDC Miller Motorsports in IMSA racing in a Cadillac DPI in the DPI VR for 20 and 21. And he's going to be racing with Joao Barbosa. And so, I mean, that's cool that he's racing in IMSA, but just the fact that it was just completely out of the blue. And I think, I don't know the whole story. I actually looked around to see if maybe we could try to get him on the show in the near future. But yeah, that was a big story 2 days ago and out of the blue.
Yeah, that's a surprise. Now, I'm glad to see he's not going home and swinging golf clubs. But the IMSA series is always fantastic. We've had Zhao on with us too, and great group of drivers there. So I can't argue him for going to that. If he's going somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, some big news this week. Alex Marquez joins his brother Mark in MotoGP Honda.
You know, I have been calling that. In fact, it was last year that I expected it to happen for 2019. And the reason that I saw that coming up is there was talk in the paddock when the two of them got out. You know, sibling rivalry is great for the younger folks in the family. There was talk that he was actually faster than Mark, that Alec could outrun Mark in a lot of situations. And so this is going to be interesting. Everybody's going to be watching to see if he can still carry it out now that they're on GP bikes together. That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that. Maybe it'll shake up the front runners, even though it might still be a Repsol.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun to watch. You could do a long segment on just that alone, because I mean, the argument has been, are there better riders than Alex to join Mark? But I mean, I like it. I like it. I mean, it's not that he's not a great rider. Obviously he's a fantastic rider, but is he the best rider coming through from Moto2 to join him? But I don't know. Also this weekend, Formula E kicked off. I watched qualifying, and then I had the time set up to watch the race, and I did not get to watch Formula E.
There you go.
You know what's funny? I was thinking about that today, because
I watched a little, and that clip kept going through my mind.
Not only that, but I was watching the qualifying, and my wife she took a nap on the sofa, and I was turning up the TV, and I was like, is that going to wake her up, or is she going to have bad dreams about the dentist? Or it really occurred to me. I was kind of turning the volume down on purpose because of that sound.
I can, you wake up with a toothache.
Yeah. I swear I still kind of like it, but I, yeah. But I.
It is growing on me. Not the toothache sound.
That last part really did.
Yeah. I'm not sure. You might be blending back and forth between the two.
All right. Yeah. Well, you know what? Let's go and take a break so we can stop that sound. And then we're gonna talk about the Macau Grand Prix and jump into our interviews. So listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, back after a quick break.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
Talk 13-7, the right choice.
From BBC F1, you are listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show, live from Austin, Texas, Speed City.
We're already starting to talk holidays.
Yeah, I know, man. You got Thanksgiving next week, so yeah.
Okay, but, you know, I know everybody gets caught up about Black Friday, but you know what's one of the coolest things about Black Friday?
Yeah?
Going to Ducati Austin, because the demos aren't all busy.
Ooh, yeah, that's right.
And they're doing barbecue on Friday. So, you know, you can always exit the family scene because you'll be done with them before the turkey's cold. Friday morning, you can just...
Yeah.
I'm going to go get some early shopping out of the way, honey. See ya. And head over to Ducati Austin for some barbecue because, like I said, you're done with turkey.
Yeah. Heck yeah, man.
The events at
Ducati are great. They do it right, man. They do a great job there.
You know, I'd say almost on a monthly basis, you can go over there on a Saturday and get a hot dog or a sausage wrap or something, check out all the new bikes and chit chat, go for a quick demo ride, all that kind of thing. So that's going on November 29th, Friday.
Yeah.
Stop by, save me a hot dog or a piece of barbecue.
Yes, sir. All right, let's talk Macau Grand Prix. If you don't know the Macau Grand Prix, it's that off-season race for most of the series, and it is this year, it's really iconic. It's been going on for many, many years, and some amazing names have come through there, including Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher, and many, many more F1 drivers, all kinds of sports car drivers, all the way down. So it's really a fantastic tradition and a great race. And in Macau, which is in China, which is kind of the Las Vegas gambling capital of that region, and it's multitudes the size of Vegas. It's great racing. It's a tight street course, and they've made changes to it over the years to try to make it a little safer as the years go on and things like that. And that big crash that we talked about earlier, but it's a great tradition, and it's some great racing they do. And this year it's now an official FIA Formula 3 event. It's been a Formula 3 event in the past, but not an FIA Formula 3 event now. So you'll find coverage about it all over the place now, including on F1.com because it's part of that. But the driver that we're going to have this interview first is Dan Ticktum. And so Dan Ticktum this year has had a pretty rough year because he got brought up to the Red Bull program after winning the Macau Grand Prix twice. He won. I mean, he's been winning all kinds of races and championships. and doing great. And he just had a kick in the stomach when they got let off the Red Bull team, because he was brought onto the Red Bull junior team and then let off, like, I want to say a month or two later, really pretty fast. But he was at Macau, back at the race, back to racing. And this interview is great because it sets up the actual Macau Grand Prix. He talks a lot about it and talks about his season so far. So let's hear from Dan Ticktum.
All right, Dan Ticktum, day one. Good to be back at the sharp end. How was it to get back into, well, not back into an F3, but back in a car at Macau?
Yeah, I mean, I've done 2 days in this car in my life, so yeah, I'm a little bit on the back foot this year. Still got a great knowledge of the track, of course, and as previous years have proven, I seem to know my way around here pretty well. It's great to be back here, to be honest. The car's different.
Tell me how.
There's pros and cons, more cons for this car just because of the weight. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a lot more dangerous, I would say, as well. Despite what they've done to the track, there's still some places where, you know, with this car, there could be some pretty big accidents, I think. So we're going even quicker now. We're doing 300 kph pretty much. So and because of the weight, like, it's just that everything's a bit more clumsy, basically, a bit less direct. As a driver personally, I prefer, I think most drivers who know what they're talking about will say the same thing, to be honest. So lighter is normally better, but it's better than I was expecting, to be honest. I was expecting it to be a dog, if I'm honest. Like, I was expecting it to be really difficult and nowhere near as enjoyable, but it's still, the Macau flavour is still there, that's for sure. So it's still very fun.
I mean, you've got to be pleased that, I mean, you most of these guys you're racing against have driven this car around the world all year. You've done a couple of days testing, so you've got to be pleased day one to be on the pace. I know, you know, Macau, you're a two-time winner, we know that, but it's got to be impressive to be up there with Schwartzman and everybody else.
Exactly. I mean, I think the thing is, you know, my knowledge of the track, you could argue, is above some people's, and you know, their knowledge of the car is above mine. So, you know, they sort of seem to be equaling themselves out at the moment. But all the time I'm learning the car more and more. I mean, from quali one today, P6 is not representable for me at all. Definitely still got quite a lot of time there. Whether I'll be as dominant as I was last year, I don't think so. I think the stars aligned last year. I think, you know, I was in a good place. The team nailed everything and I nailed everything, so that's what you get. But I think we are definitely in the window to fight, and that's really positive for me, obviously, and the team. But, you know, I'm learning more and more every lap I do. So, you know, the problem is with the tyres, you don't get to keep pushing. You only get one lap, then you have to cool down. So I've only probably done about 7 or 8 actual push laps. So, yeah. I'm in at the deep end, but I mean, I still think we can get a good result this weekend, yeah.
Tell me how the DRS works here, because like you say, you only get a couple of laps where you can actually push.
Yeah.
Is that the only time you use DRS in free practice?
You also use it on the out laps and the build-up laps, because, believe it or not, when you shift the aero balance forward, it puts more stress on the front tyres, so that can actually help you get the front temperature up more. Yeah, I'm sure other teams know that, but yeah, so, but most of the time, yeah, I mean, it's quite powerful here. As soon as you open it, you can feel a big, big reduction in drag, of course. So, yeah.
Let me ask you this. I mean, how did this drive come about? You haven't been racing F3 this year. Do you know Trevor? Have you worked with Trevor? I mean, obviously, it's a good break.
Yeah, I know Trevor very well. Known him for years, to be honest. Done bits and pieces of testing and stuff with Carlin over the years. Even like one of the first tests I ever did in a car was with Carlin. Like, so I've known all the guys here for a long time. And Trev offered me the role in sort of mid summer. I was sort of keen to come back anyway, but I hadn't physically like gone and approached the team. So it was nice to be wanted, if you know what I mean. That was great. So and I'm very happy to be here. Yeah, it's great opportunity, I think. So,
because it's been a tough year, yeah.
It's been a terrible year, you know. There's no hiding that. I mean, people can think what they like of me being dropped from Red Bull. I mean, I still maintain my views on it. I think I was never given enough of a chance this year in Super Formula to really show what I could do. And you know, even the other drivers that got in that car, both of whom are good. One's an Alpha program as well. And Vips was putting in the last one and still didn't manage to do anything special. And he's a very respectable driver. So I think, I've just been treated a bit bit unfairly, to be honest, but that's the game of not only motorsport, sport in general, and also the world. So sometimes deals you a card.
Yeah, it's he ended up 13th, by the way, in this year's Macau Grand Prix. He's won it twice.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, he's definitely a formidable competitor and skills and everything. Honestly, I'm a little surprised he was that outspoken about the Red Bull team.
Yeah.
You didn't hear Gasly doing that when he got swapped down to the Toro Rosso team. And so, you know, that could be a career-limiting comment if he continues that kind of mode.
Yeah, it's one of those. Yeah, you're right. It's one of those that if your PR guy standing there, he's definitely going to cringe big time. Well, let's move on to the next interview, because we got the winner of the Macau Grand Prix.
Boom.
And this young man is Richard Verschuer, and he's been on the show a bunch of times. This is not his, I think he came up through the Toyota Racing Series, where Jonathan's headed now.
Yeah, next stop.
And by the way, that's Jonathan interviewing, in case you didn't get that. That's Jonathan interviewing all the interviews he did while he was there at Macau. But so Richard Verschuer, we watched him throughout the practice and everything. He was looking better and better, and then I think he qualified fifth, and then won the race. So let's hear from Richard Verschuer.
My favorite Dutchman, right here, Richard Verschuer. Macau. We talked about it back in the day when we first met at TRS. But you're here, and I've got to get your first impressions of your experience here.
Yeah, it's just insane. I mean, I've never experienced anything near this. This morning when I stepped into the car before FP1, I was so nervous. Like, it was a long time ago I've been, like, really nervous or really enjoying, like, the session, because it's just something really different, and just the atmosphere here in general is really different. I really love it.
You've seen all the video. What surprised you? What didn't surprise you? What was your first reaction to your first flying lap?
Oh, it was incredible. I mean, to be honest, I felt quite dizzy in the first lap because everything went so fast. Like, I wasn't really used to it. But yeah, as soon as I got used to it a bit, I looked every second. I mean, it was really bumpy, like really bumpy. So yeah, that was a bit, yeah, I know. I really had to get used to certain things on track, and steering wheel was moving quite a lot. So, I mean, yeah, I had to get used to it a bit, but as soon as I did my first flying lap and I got used to the track, the environment, everything, then I was really enjoying it.
Did you just watch videos, or did you do any sim work?
I did two days in the sim, so I prepared well.
So what surprised you? Because the sim doesn't show you the bumps, does it?
Exactly. Well, it does a bit, but not like this. And also the speed, like, you will never experience the speed you have in real life, and the sound of the engine, everything, like, comes together. And because you're in the walls, the sound sounds like it goes up or something, I don't know. But it's like everything together makes it just actually the reason why you race. Like,
sounds bouncing off the walls and the hills and everything else, and reverberating around the city. It's an exciting weekend, and of course there's so much racing going on as well. There's cars, there's bikes, the GT cars, there's guys you probably, you know, grew up watching here as well, and just, you know, the whole experience of Macau is quite different, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I really saw a lot of people I know from the past, so that's really nice to see. And of course I know all the F3 drivers, and I know that this field is really competitive, so that makes it also nice to drive in Macau, because, I mean, yeah, the car is a bit less needed to go fast. It's really up to the driver. Of course, you need a good car, but that beside. But, I mean, all the drivers here are really willing to push hard as they can. So, I mean, it's going to be an exciting race. Like, not only qualifying is going to be exciting, but I think the race is as well.
What are your expectations then? I mean, you know, it's very hard to set those expectations because it is such a huge learning curve, but what are you saying that you'd be happy with?
Well, I mean, I don't really have a place or a top whatever where I want to be, but this morning I was P5, which I was really happy with. I think if I can just match the top guys, if I can come close to their times, especially the guys that have been here before, I think it would be good up to next year to know the track, to be aware of where I can push and where you shouldn't push that much, and I think that's the main target. But I really want to get on the podium this weekend. That's something I have in the back of my head.
And it's also about being out of trouble, keeping out of trouble. You see the crashes, you see the warning lights, and it's one of those places where you're always sort of second-guessing what's around the next corner.
Yeah, most of them are blind, so you really try to look every single marshal post you can find or your steering when it gets yellow. Luckily, we have really good flags, and on the steering wheel immediately gets yellow when someone goes over a certain line. So I'm really grateful for that. It's going to be exciting.
Well, you must sleep a few laps in your head tonight, but not too many because you need some rest.
Exactly. I will.
Thank you, Will.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, that was a clip before he raced, and I loved it because he was talking about he qualified fifth,
right.
And Jonathan asked him, where do you want to be? He's going, if I could just get a podium. And then he wins the race.
Nice.
He's going to be one to watch for sure.
But, that's typical Macau. You can, it is a place that they still manage to pass, even though it's really tight and curvy. I love the city streets.
Yeah.
The way it's involved.
You got to watch that one. Go back on
YouTube.
That's
a bucket list location.
And we also had an American on the podium at Macau. We didn't get an interview with Logan, but Logan Sargent, racing for Carlin also, was on the podium. And we'll be following him. So, all right, we have one more interview that we're going to play before this break, and that is with Sophia Flores, because she was the one we talked about, had a wreck last year, horrific, crazy, missile-like wreck at 170 miles an hour, and had, I think she had a neck issue, came back to Macau and did it. So let's hear from Sophia Flores.
Well, Sophia, welcome back to Macau. You did it. You did what you were set out to do, which is to come back and race at Macau, and you finally got a chance to do it. How was the experience?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, I'm happy to be back and to be able to race here in Macau. It's one of the greatest circuits, and this car especially, it's super much fun, so yeah, I'm happy to be back.
That's what impressed me, was that you really haven't had a lot of time. You had a test in the wet. How hard was it to learn the car?
As you say, I had one test day in the wet, and it was something difficult, but to try some my first time yesterday. Well, 2 days ago I was in the dry here in this car, but I'm still learning and there's still a lot to learn, and Macau is not the easiest track to start in a new category, in a new car actually. I'm learning and I'm getting better, so that was actually why I was doing Macau.
What was the aim when you got here? I mean, obviously it's a big return for you, you're facing a little bit of a demons, it was obviously a tragic incident that nobody wants to see again, nor yourself. Were you a little apprehensive or were you confident?
I was pretty confident to come here. I was signing a contract and it was pretty clear that I don't have any expectations. For me, it was more important to have fun, to enjoy it, to enjoy the time here with the team, with the fans, and to learn every lap and to get better and improve and to prepare for next year, and that's kind of what I'm doing and why I'm here. So I was pretty confident from the beginning onwards and didn't really have a clear goal which position I wanted to end up.
But you are a racing driver. Now you've bedded yourself in. Do you think you can maybe take it to the next level and really push a little bit more tomorrow?
Of course I'm a racing driver and of course I want to win, but I think you have to be realistic and compare it to Armstrong or so, who did the whole season and a lot of test days. So, it's a little bit different of experience in this car. I'm going to try my best and see where we end up, but as long as I'm finishing and get kilometres in this car, I'm happy.
And is the plan FIA F3 next year?
Yeah, that's the plan. That's the reason why I'm here, to prepare and to get kilometres in this car, because you're limited in testing. So that's my plan, and then for sure come back again next year.
Great to have you back. Go show those boys what you can do.
Thanks.
Yes, that was very exciting to have her back.
Yeah,
that, it was really one of the most followed stories in motorsports last year, and her return too. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I remember that. Immediately she was fine. But
yeah,
when she got, in fact, she flew back the usual flight she was going to fly back, and she ran into Daniel Ricciardo at the airport, and they hung out a little bit, exchanging planes. So, yeah, I thought that was really cool, and I was surprised Daniel Ricciardo was going through the regular commercial airport.
True. That's
of course, that's probably typical Daniel Ricciardo, humble guy.
Yep. All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be live with a young race driver from Austin, Texas, Riley Dickinson, back after these messages.
There you go.
Right.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, WindingRoadRacing.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
I'm Cameron Bovier. I ride for Monster Energy Graves Yamaha, and this is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, we're excited to have our next guest. We've had some young drivers over the years. Just an example, just like
that Rossi kid.
Yeah, Alexander Rossi.
One day he's going to be somebody.
Let's see. We've had
Connor Daly kid.
Connor Daly when he was a kid. Lance Stroll when he was a kid, yeah. Formula One driver. And let's see, who else? Anyway, we've had some fantastic young.
Okay. I got to say, the one we're about to speak to, I got a little heads up on this from David Moore of More Speed Racing last time I went through the shop.
Yeah.
Fun visit. Let's meet him.
All right. We want to welcome to the show Riley Dickinson. Riley, welcome to Speed City.
Hey, guys. How's it going? How are you?
Good. How are you, sir?
Doing good. Doing good.
Well, you hit my radar when, I guess it was last weekend, Radical Racing. Is that right? Or the weekend before?
Yep, so it was last weekend. We were out at COTA doing the Radical Cup North America. It was a really fun event.
Yeah, I was watching that. They were streaming it on YouTube, and I was watching that. And, man, yeah. you guys cleaned up that weekend.
Yeah, in the third race, it was a good event for sure.
Well, and you won.
Had a couple of issues, but it was good.
Yeah, you won that last race, didn't you?
Yep, yes, sir, we did.
Well, I want to talk about your young career, because how old are you, Riley?
17 years old.
17. Wow.
See, I was still getting speeding tickets on the street then, but it wasn't in anything nearly as fast as what he's got.
Yeah. We'll talk about you. The Radical Racing is amazing, and I've seen those cars, and that's a really fun series. But talk about how you got here, where you started racing, how you got interested in all that.
Yeah, so, I mean, ever since whenever I was born, I mean, I always remember I always had the bug, I guess you could say, for racing. And then whenever I was seven, you know, we were coming home from a baseball game that we just got slaughtered at. And to get out of the baseball park, you have to drive by this local go-kart track that down by where I live. And, you know, we drove by it, and of course, it was Saturday night. They had a race going on out there, and I was like, all right, I'm done with baseball. I want to go do this. And so rest is history after that. Next day. Went and bought the cart. Day after that, bought the trailer. Day after that, we're at the track doing laps. So it's been a pretty good ride since then.
All right. Well, where's this track? Tell us that.
In New Braunfels, Texas. It's
Rankin
Country
Road.
Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right down the road.
Been there, done that.
I love that. Yeah. It's baseball or auto racing. It's like there's no comparison. Yeah. Not even close.
You know, I was the kid out in right field. Yeah, I was the kid out in right field wanting to be on the go-kart.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was an aspiring first baseman. Wasn't that great, though.
Hey, you found your spot, though. Stick shift, no less. Well,
yeah,
cool. So you played around on karts for a while, probably did pretty well, it sounds like. Give us a little more of that career path.
Yeah, so, you know, worked my way up through the ranks in karting a little bit, locally was able to win a couple of races, and we're like, all right, let's move on from this. So we went, you know, state level, won a few championships there, and then just kind of recently in 2017 I was able to win the national championship in shifter kart, excuse me, pro tour.
Yeah.
So that was probably the biggest moment in my karting career for sure. And then in 2018, we decided to make the transition from carts to cars. So that started out with Miatas out at a track in San Marcos, Harris Hill Raceway.
Harris Hill.
It's a great track. A lot of fun. And then through there, got connected with David. And then later on that year in August, we had a test out at MSR Houston. And then later on after that, we made the deal to do the full year this year in Cup.
Yeah, wow. That's fantastic. And so talk about the Cup, the season in Cup.
Yeah, so with it being my first full year in car racing, it was definitely a pretty steep learning curve, but it was a great season nonetheless. I mean, started out at Barber Motorsports Park. It was, you know, my first race ever in the Cup. I was so nervous. I mean, thinking back to it, I mean, for qualifying, I wanted to throw up. I mean, it was hilarious looking back on it. But I mean, watching the in-car video, I mean, I was an absolute mess. But after that, you know, got into the rhythm, had a little bit of a slump during the middle of the season, but then came on pretty strong the last couple of races, VIR Laguna, and then Road Atlanta, where I won.
Oh, that's awesome.
Atlanta, too.
Yeah,
and which
Radical cars are you in? Are you in the one that's the twin Hayabusa V8? Or
Yep, so it's the SR8 that has the V8 engine in it, so it's the faster one of the two.
Yeah.
And that is so cool.
That's a little rocket for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that David was like, "Hey, you want to come run this Radical race?" And I was like, "Well, I'm not going to say no to that."
Yeah.
So
you know, folks, the David he's talking about is David Moore, who's, you know, Daytona. He's been all over the sports car racing world for quite a while, and is fantastic at coaching, and he's extra fantastic at recognizing young talent coming up.
You mean super fantastic?
Even super fantastic.
Sorry, that's an inside joke. talk about this new Porsche, the invitation you got to do that.
Yep. So, I mean, kind of funny how my schedule was last weekend. So, you know, doing the Radical race Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then as soon as I got out of the car Saturday morning from the race, stripped down my race gear, immediately jumped in a truck and went to the airport because, you know, the Austin airport's, you know, 5 minutes away. So we were able to cut it pretty tight, and then jumped on an airplane and went straight to Birmingham, Alabama. And Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, there was the eighth edition of the Porsche Young Drivers Academy, which is where Porsche Motorsport North America and the Porsche family that is in North America, they selected four drivers from around the country. It was two drivers from the Cup Series, myself and Jeff Kingsley, and then two other drivers that do other racing inside of IMSA. Britt Casey Jr., he races in the IMSA Pilot Challenge and TC, and then Hannah Zeller, she races in LMP3. And so us four, we got invited to this academy. And it was a pretty extensive program. On Sunday, it was a classroom activity. So, you know, throughout the day, we were learning, you know, media training, personality evaluation, you know, talking about tire, talking about engineering techniques, stuff like that. So it was really good. It was a day just for us to learn. And then on Monday, we actually got out on track and had a full testing day where, you know, we could show them what we had.
So you gotta be pinching yourself. When that invitation came, did it come? Did they call you? Did they go through David? How did that happen? And were you freaking out?
a little bit, actually. It was Patrick Long. He sent me an Instagram.
Oh, nice.
Holy.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, you know, shoot me a time whenever you can give me a call. I want to talk. I'm like, oh man, what did I do wrong this time? And I thought it was like, right. And then, you know, he called me later that night and he told me I got invited. I was like, gee, that was pretty awesome. So it was a really cool little chain of events for sure.
I mean, at that point, you got to be going, this is serious. This, you know, your career, when you get a call from the
Patrick Long,
from Patrick Long, to go to this, I mean, that is a serious thing, man. That's only a week ago. So are you still kind of, you know, reeling and excited from all that?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a little bit of time to, you know, kind of digest it, you know, kind of, I guess, scale back from the excitement, I guess. But I mean, both the days it was pretty, pretty serious. So there wasn't a whole bunch of, you know, downtime, I guess you could say. We were always, you know, always doing something or learning something else. So, I mean, it was really kind of the time after, like the plane ride back and the short time that I had at night to kind of decompress was pretty, it was pretty intense the entire weekend. So this was kind of the last couple of days was the first time I've actually been able to kind of reflect on it.
Well, who were the instructors out there?
So Patrick Long, he was the one who was kind of running the whole program. And then Hurley Haywood, he was also out there. It was unbelievable to have both of them out there. I mean, I've learned so much from the two of them. I mean, it was so cool. And also there was a few representatives from Porsche Cars North America. Dave Engelman, he was the spokesperson. He was the main guy who was there. And then we had a representative from IMSA, which was the race director, John Maske, for nice. The Cup Series. Drew Dayton, he was the Yokohama Motorsports manager. Then we had the race engineer for the factory RSR team with Earl Bamber and Lawrence.
Nice.
Yeah, so they were he was working with us on Monday, which was, again, an unbelievable experience. I mean, he's been through so much and has seen so many things. I mean, he was telling me stories of how he used to work with Senna back in the day. I mean, it was just making my head spin. It was so cool. And then after, I think, who else was there? There was, and then also the people who was, you know, Jamie Howe, she was teaching us for the media training. Nice. And then they had a couple other people there for the personality evaluation. But it was a pretty big group that went into making this happen. I mean, I can't thank them enough for giving me opportunity for it.
That is an amazing opportunity. So to me, this begs the question. You're winning races, you're winning championships in karting, you're getting invited to Porsche. Where are your next? Yeah.
What are you going to do when you grow up?
I don't want to grow up for a while. Yeah, I'm getting all the questions for college and all that. I was like, man, I just want to stay in high school for a little bit longer. But so long-term goal, I want to have a career driving in professional motorsports. That's, you know, that's the end game goal. I don't have a set series that I have my eyes on. I mean, at this point, I just want to get into anything that I can and just, you know, be the driver for it. So that's kind of the way that I want to make my career. And that's what I'm going after right now.
I think it's a little early to make that decision, but
he's doing the right thing. Somebody offers you a seat, grab it, go.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
Hey, you know, one of our favorite things to do is to ask race drivers, young and experienced, is what, you know, what about this season so far in, you know, we cover Formula One real closely. We do our pre and post race show. What do you think about, I'm assuming you follow Formula One pretty close.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, it's a Sunday ritual. Me and my dad watching it on the couch. It's every race. Oh yeah,
awesome.
Practice, qualifying, everything. Hold on yards.
Do you have a team or a driver that's your favorite? Or,
I mean, he has been a bit controversial lately, but I got to go with Verstappen just because he's a kart racer. You know, he came up through the karting ranks, and he's the young guy.
Yeah, we got to sit down with Max when he was here in Austin, and tell you what, he's a heck of a nice guy. I mean, he's. Either that, or he's had some very good media training. No, he really was. He was a genuine nice guy. He was happy to talk to us about, you know, United States audiences and everything. We had lots of different conversations with him about the United States, and he was a great guy and very easy to talk to. But so Max is your guy. I think that's probably a pretty good. You're in plenty of company though. That's for sure. If you just look at the stands.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, watching him drive, I've picked up on a few things from what he's done. I mean, I think back to that Brazil race in the rain, whenever he just found the grip that no one else could in the rain. I thought that was probably one of his better drives that he's had. I followed him pretty closely for sure.
Yeah, that's a good one to watch for sure. And what about you? Have you followed the Haas team, our American team, closely, and all the saga that is them this year?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say they've had an interesting year. I mean, I'm following them off and on. I mean, I feel bad because they've had a pretty rough year this year, but hopefully they can get it turned around for the next one.
Well, Riley Dickinson, we want to thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it, and we'll be watching you and get you back on the show again. Love to have local guys to be on the show. And what you have a question for him, Les?
Yeah, Riley, what's your social media so our audience can follow you?
So Instagram is RileyD253. I have Instagram and Facebook.
All righty. There you go.
All right. We'll tweet that out for you too. Well, Riley Dickinson, thanks for coming on the show, buddy. And
appreciate it.
We'll see you around town.
Absolutely. Yeah, travel safe,
next
buddy.
Next time I can be in the studio with you guys.
All right.
You got it. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you all.
All right, well, let's go ahead and take a quick break.
I love that.
Yeah, it's great to have local homegrown Austin racers. Yes, and doing good, man. Obviously really good. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue. We may have another Macau clip or two, and we've also got a surprise guest, too. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. Back up these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Austin's Talk 1370.
Hi, this is Elena Myers, number 21, Moto America Superbike rider for Team 21 Motorsport and McGraw Power Sports Racing. You're listening to Speed City Radio.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. I want to play one more interview from Macau because Jonathan Green caught up with another young driver who had a really good weekend and somebody who's been on the show we followed before from the Toyota Racing Series, and that is Liam Lawson. Let's go ahead and hear from Liam Lawson.
Hey, Speed City fans, I'm with a delighted Liam Lawson. Who has just done his debut here at the Macau Grand Prix and I think over-exceeded his expectations. I know you were disappointed with qualifying, but the race, wow, you can't have asked for more.
Yeah, the race was certainly really exciting and really good. It was the first session this weekend where I basically just gave it everything and absolutely sent it. I think I came into the weekend very cautious because of the track, and the advice I got from everybody was to just build up slowly. And I was ready in qualifying to go for it, but I had one clear lap the whole session, and that one clear lap I just didn't give it enough, wasn't on it enough. It was really early in the session, so frustrating because we ended up qualifying P15, and then that basically meant we were right in the middle of the incident in race one in the quali race. I got shuffled all the way to the back, so and then I knew yesterday we had good pace because we drove back through to P20. Which, from where we came from, was quite good. And then today, it was actually quite funny because I got a really, really good start, but it wasn't because I got, in my initial start, I couldn't even see the lights. So I basically waited for everybody to go because I couldn't see them. So when everybody moved, then I went, which meant I was quite far back going into turn one. But then everybody slowed up, and it just meant that I drove around everybody and made up heaps of places at the start. And then from there, the car was just really fast. As I said, it was the first session where I really just gave it everything this weekend, it's a little bit frustrating because I think if we'd got quali right, we would have been on for a really good result this weekend. But still, it's a good experience. I'm glad to have done it. So I'm just, really ready for next year, I guess.
And what about the team? I mean, you weren't 100% sure how competitive MP Motorsport would be here at Macau because they weren't experts necessarily, but you've won the race with Richard Bashaw, a fantastic result, and you're in the top 10.
Yeah, I know. I really didn't expect the speed this weekend. Richard's done a great job. Massive congrats to him. He was really on it from the start. He fully deserves this. But for the team, it's their first time here, so ever. So it's crazy. They've done a really, really good job getting the car sorted.
Well done again. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope so.
17-year-old Liam Lawson, and he is a Red Bull Junior, and a part of that same team. That's interesting. That team's been around.
Red Bull is really stacking their deck.
Well, and you know what? And I'm going to give you some credit for something you said earlier. You talked about, you know, because Dan Ticktum, how he went, he's obviously very talented, and they brought him on the program, and then they kicked him off the program. But you were talking about the way he was kind of trashing him and stuff. Maybe that was the problem, because, you know, guys like Riley who were just on the phone, they're getting PR training and all that.
Yeah.
Well, part of that PR training is, don't trash.
Yeah, don't trash
don't
your
burn
team.
Bridges, you know, when yeah. if you've been let go or whatever, yeah. maybe instead of trashing them, learn a lesson from it. I don't know exactly what happened, but hey, the producer said there is a call. He said the guy's originally from the North Pole, but he's here in Austin. It says it's for you, Les.
Who is it?
I don't know. We have a caller on the line.
I know who this is. This is the Master Elf, Louis Montesivas. From Travis County Sheriff's Brown Santa. Hey, Louis.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good.
Doing all right. Yeah, he was hesitating to really call you Elf, and they prefer little people.
I'm far from little, I'll tell you that.
He's like the Wilt Chamberlain in the Elf League. Louis. Hey, Louis is joining us because we had a great time last year at the monthly car and bike night. The Speed City Road Show is taking place December 18th, and Louis is escorting the Brown Santa out. And so, Louis, thanks for being part of this again.
Yeah, tell us about Brown Santa in case people who don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't hear about Brown Santa. So basically, Brown Santa is with the Travis County Sheriff's Office, and we service everybody outside the city limits of Austin. So as opposed to our brothers in blue, the APD Blue Santa, they service everybody inside the city of Austin. So that's the only difference besides us being better than them, of course.
He doesn't drive in the city of Austin
rivalry
much.
There.
Well, it's a fantastic event. And so this year we're doing it even larger. And Louis is already arranging a bigger truck to haul the mountain of toys away and distribute it and make some kids have a good Christmas this year. And so, you know, a lot of times, Louis, y'all talk about the weight, and it's been tons. How did last year go for you?
Last year was great. We had a big toy. I guess we were on the receiving end of it. Just some incredible donors just came out. And it's always amazing to see it all just pour into the warehouse. And we literally have to just pour it on the floor. We spread 40 by 40 foot tarps out so we don't, you know, get them dirty or anything, but we spread them out and then we got to sort them all. And it's literally a mountain of toys when they come in.
Yeah. Yeah. So folks, again, it's going to be December 18th, the Speed City Road Show. It's in the evening. That's a Wednesday evening. We're doing something special this time. We're going to be giving away a lot of items that evening, and you get one just for coming and being part of it. And then you get one ticket. You get a ticket for being there. You also get a ticket to put in the drawing for each toy you donate to Louis and the Brown Santa program that evening. So loaded.
Yeah, bring your cool car.
Increase your odds.
Yeah. And Louis, if people want to donate, how do they do it before then? If they can't make it to our car show?
They could visit our website. Just Google Brown Santa, and we're the first one to pop up for Travis County Brown Santa. Or you could go to all of the HEB, Austin area HEBs will carry our barrels after Thanksgiving.
That's cool.
Alrighty.
Yeah, that's a nice deal. The HEB, there's plenty of locations there, so that's cool.
Well, you know, and Brown Santa always arrives in something cool. Last year, Jeff Mosing was the pilot, the Rudolph, if you will, and he arrived in a Porsche Carrera GT. Not many Santas arrive that. Wait till this year to see what he arrives in. I'm working on that now.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
Well, Louis, we'll tweet out your the website and everything and make sure that people know that they can bring the toys to donate. And we look forward to seeing you out there.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
All righty. Thanks, Louis. All right. Have a good Thanksgiving.
See you then,
say
Louis.
Hey to the family. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, sounds good. Bye-bye.
That's cool. That's a nice addition to our Speed City Roadshow, which if you haven't been yet, what it is just a gathering of car guys and gals.
Cars and bikes and
yep.
Anything fun.
Anything fun, anything. That's true. I was going to say fast, but they don't have to be fast.
No, there's clearly some things that are not
fast.
Your car's
there.
They're
it
cool.
Have to
yeah,
be.
Thanks. Thanks. You know, if you keep talking like that CTSV is going to be turned into a lump of coal.
Oh. I had to throw that dig in there. But yeah, come out and we do it. We usually do it at the fourth Wednesday of every month, but we're for the holiday, we're going to do it a week early. And we do it out at Circle Brewery here in Austin. And
giant parking lot.
Yeah, big parking lot, lots of place for lots of cars. And we just hang out and talk cars and talk racing. And it's a good time. All right, so we just got a couple minutes left, and there's, you know, we talked about some of the other stories that happened this week, like Marquez joining Marquez, and Sebastian Bourdais. But there's a couple other things that I want that are on our list to talk about tonight, Les. One of them is you went to Zandvoort.
Yes.
And I put a story in our show doc about the banking.
Oh, Zandvoort.
Zandvoort. This is a new F1 race this year.
You're right. So Zandvoort is about a 40-minute train ride outside of Amsterdam. It is right on the beachy coast there. And it is so cool because it's literally just a, you know, 300 yards from the coast. And you can walk over there. But what is so cool about this is they're adding banking, like the old Lamar Bank.
Yeah.
They're comparing it to the Indy Bank because it's going to be even steeper banked than the Indy cars. And so they're adding this up, adding this into the circuit towards the last turn of the race course. This is just going to be amazing. I mean, well, I am truly excited over this because this is such a cool feature.
Twice as steep as Indianapolis is how steep this banking is.
And it's going to be F1 cars taking that.
It's going to be cool.
I'm excited. I mean, the G-forces, I'm waiting to see what they
do
with
this. Did you actually
this.
Get to walk on the track at Zandvoort?
Did not. They were running a Porsche Cup Series. They were had a drift competition using the F1 circuit as well. And also, Max Verstappen was there doing a big promo event there.
Yeah, very cool. All right, well, we are out of time. So we appreciate all of our guests. And thanks for tuning in. Check out our website, speedcitybroadcast.com, because next week we'll be doing our Formula One coverage for the last time this year. But check it out. We'll have you can find out where to listen and everything, and we'll talk to you next week.
That's right. December 18th, Brown Santa. Ciao, y'all.